So welcome to the inquiry period. And now you're quite aware of the form. Listening very deeply. Let's begin with a couple of minutes of just sitting. Over the days, it may be that a question has emerged from your practice. Or you may have more generally a question about the Dharma, or an issue in your life. Dharma and life are not separate. So please come with a clear question. Is anybody?
Yeah. Early in the morning, I did my task cutting vegetables for breakfast, and it was sensational. It was amazing. I cut tomatoes. So I made up my mind to just to go straight after breakfast to cut again. And I did. And the knife that I was using wasn't there. So I searched for it, and I thought I found it, but it wasn't the right one. So I just cut the onion with the knife that wasn't the previous one. And it wasn't as nice as it used to be. And I was like all troubled with the difference in the experience. But then I moved to cut onion, tomatoes, and it transpired to be a better knife for tomatoes than the previous one. Although I knew it rationally, but I wasn't enjoying it as the same as in the early morning. And then I had to cut carrots, which I discovered to be, the knife was totally not suitable for carrots at all, and it was painful. And then I discovered that it's good for, if you put the carrot perpendicular, it's very easy to cut it to half. And then I took a different knife, and it was great to cut a big knife to cut it into pieces. Now all these stories. I was
wondering what the question is.
Yeah, so the question is, I was really disturbed the entire day with this situation, and the question is, when do I, do I need to embrace reality and say, or like accept it, or when I should proactively change reality for a better situation? How do I know when it's the right action, or right, I wouldn't say the action, but right thing to do, whether to just embrace and then discover what's going on, or to change?
Okay. So the question is about right action, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's your understanding of right action?
Maybe a right action, it's an action that will lead me to, if I understand from the morning, the best time was I was just in the present time and just exploring the present time. No.
Okay, so just stop there. So you were cutting the vegetables in the morning, and you were utterly with your experience, and the experience was rather easy?
It was amazing.
Okay, describe what happened. How was it amazing?
Because I could... it wasn't hearing, I could sense the knife going through the tomato.
Yes.
And it became smoother and smoother as the time went by. It was just magical. It was just sensational. I just enjoyed it. I mean, I wasn't sure if I did it fast or slow, but I think it was very efficient also.
Okay. So there was just cutting the tomatoes.
Yeah.
Without any addition whatsoever from the mind.
Right.
Okay. So there was the seeing of reality. Tomato, knife, cut.
Yeah.
No problem. And it seems like, because of the samadhi, the focus, there was also some sensitivity.
Yeah.
And the experience was one of the unification of the mind. So the whole action was clear, simple, unproblematic, and beautiful.
Yeah.
Who would have thought such beauty in chopping a tomato? Okay. So, please go on. What's your understanding of right action?
But that's an easy example. With the carrot, it wasn't like that.
If I
wouldn't change the knife with the carrot, I would just have a painful hand.
Okay, so, here's the carrot and the knife.
Yeah.
Describe to me exactly what happened.
The knife was small, so I couldn't really grab it properly, mm-hmm. And the carrot is much stiffer than the tomato, so you have to to get something to hold it in order to cut it properly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy, it wasn't fun, it wasn't no matter how I look at it, even if I decide to embrace it, it was still painful.
Okay, now, this is the important point. Describe the movement of your mind. So the conditions were, carrot is hard compared to a tomato. The knife was smaller, harder to hold. Perhaps, was the knife as sharp as the other knife?
It was sharp.
It was sharp.
It was sharp enough, but it just...
The shape was not so good for the carrot. Okay, but then...
The specific part of the... Like, to cut it in part of the middle, it was good, but then to cut it in the middle, it didn't work. Sorry for the details.
This is attention to detail. Wonderful. Wonderful. This is the kind of spirit of observation that we really need to understand ourselves. Okay. So, what then happened with the mind? What was the movement in your heart and mind in relationship to the conditions? Carrot and knife.
Well, I was a bit disturbed because I knew that's a big issue. I knew that I have to erase it today. So it was actually most of the day it was somehow in the back of my mind that it became an issue. It wasn't It wasn't as smooth and as the early morning experience, no matter what. And I know that I try to just focus on just being in present time with the
time. Okay. So let's track and trace the I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Where the sense of I, or you, landed and gripped in this situation. Can you say for me, what did the I land on? For example, did the sense of I land on, this is not the right knife, this is too hard, I don't like this. What did the I land on?
It was land on, I want to experience the previous experience.
Yes, you got it. So, the clinging was to the previous experience of ease, of beauty, of sensitivity. So the clinging was to what had taken place before. The actual event, cutting of the carrot, was a different experience. Where did the I land with the actual carrot? So, yes, I want my previous experience back. So the I thought says what? This is not like it was before.
Yeah.
What else?
I want to find a better solution.
Okay, and?
And then I tried all kind of solutions. I don't understand what.
Yes, okay. Now, our suffering is caused by our clinging.
Mm.
We have the capacity to interact in life with what's easy and what's difficult. So, life isn't about making everything perfectly easy. However, if there is a condition we can change to make the cutting easier, yeah, it's no problem. So then you picked up another knife. Then what did the I thought do? Where did the I land?
Well, I was proud of myself. I thought it was really a sophisticated solution to use two knives for cutting a carrot.
Yes. So then the eye lands in pride. Yeah. Oh, I've sorted this carrot out. Okay. Where else is the eye landing?
I mean, if you look at, like, I try to look at deeper, you know, well, it landed on wanting to know when's the right time to act, and when's the right time to embrace,
okay.
And how to, like, on present time to identify and to act or not to act accordingly.
Okay, we're coming to it. So, the I thought was caught in time. You wanted the experience to be as it was previously. Then the sense of identity, the chopper, the cutter, compared one experience with another. And then you evaluated and said, the morning experience with the tomato is much better than the carrot. So there's the comparison that's coming. And then the thought arose, and bless you for this, what is right action? So, I'm asking you again, what do you think right action is based on your experience, your direct experience?
Just to be with the current and discover what's arise from being with the carrot, regardless of what happened with the tomato and with the other
knife. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So,
right action, the right in the right action, doesn't actually mean right as in opposite to wrong, like right and wrong. We're not talking about right and wrong. So just so that everybody here understands, say a little more if you could about your understanding of right action.
I don't know. Sometimes right is just right. I mean, you just know it's right.
Ah. And the knowing that it's right is what?
The knowing that it's right, it's not something that can be described. It's just, it's very clear. It's clear.
Beautiful. Okay. The right, the word in Pali is sama, I think, and it means the bringing to fulfillment. So it's an action that's in accordance with truth or in accordance with reality. However, because something is uncomfortable or difficult, or hard, doesn't necessarily mean that it's not right action. Because in this world, we have to face the comfortable, the uncomfortable, the easy, the hard, a soft tomato and hard carrot. We have all of these things to face in life, and we need to find an ease and a freedom and a way to be with all of that that's in accordance with the reality, so that we're not resisting things, we're not fighting ourselves, we're not in a huge conflict about what to do. And sometimes when we see a situation, a knife is not suitable for chopping a carrot and there's a different one, we can simply change the condition, change the knife. That's what you did. Clear scene. Was there a problem?
No.
Okay. So the problem, the only problem was the wanting of the previous experience back. Say a bit more about the yearning for that just right experience.
It's just, since it's so successful, not just the cutting, it's like, it just makes sense to try and search for it again. Not to copy paste, but to find signs of similarities in the, like, in decision making, like trying to find out then how to construct reality based on successful experiences in the past.
Okay, so how to respond clearly, with focus, with attention, with attentiveness, and the concentration meant that there was a total experience of dropping the tomato.
I did not understand.
That wasn't a question. I was just talking about the contributing factors that are there. The contributing factors are you gave attention to what you needed to do.
Yeah.
So there was attention, there was focus, concentration. And so when we act in the world like this, we get that feeling that things unfold rather freely, because the problematic I is not in the way. The problematic I arose when there was comparison, when you wanted the experience of the carrot to be just like the experience of the tomato. What's your response?
But then how do then... Like the cutting of the tomato was accidental. It just by know there was the right tomato and the right knife, but I do want to learn from good experience and to use them in order to make a better life.
Yes, and so the right knife and the tomato were some of the factors. The other factor was your attention.
Yes.
Which was clear, sharp, concentrated, mm-hmm. focused, sensitive. These are the contributing factors. And the sense of I wasn't clinging to anything. So action with a mind of non-clinging is right action. So, you began to chop the carrot. You saw where your mind went.
Yeah.
And then you changed the conditions. Good. And then, were you at peace or not? You said it bothered you for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I mean, not that I, it's not the end of the world, but...
No.
But I found joy in cutting the carrot.
Yeah.
But it just became an issue. Suddenly, a knife gate, I was looking.
After the event of the tomato and the carrot were finished,
yeah.
What then?
Mm-hmm.
What happened then? What happened? Was it this morning or yesterday?
This morning.
This morning.
Yeah.
So since then?
Since then, many things happened. I mean, mostly great things.
Okay.
And it was just an event, and there's many, many other things happening during the day.
Okay. And what's the wisdom from the event? You see, the experiences all begin and end, but the wisdom can stay with us. The insight can stay with us. What did you discover through the experience? What have you discovered?
I discovered that I can find clarity in a situation that is different to what I am expecting for.
Yes! Yes! Could this be incredibly liberating for your whole life?
Yes. Yeah,
Yes.
Yes.
So what we do is we take the wisdom from this small situation on the retreat and we apply it to our life. And this insight, I can find clarity. When things are different from what I expect, is precious. It's life-changing. Because when we're confronted with all the challenges of life, I don't know anyone who lives a life without any challenges. Life is challenging by its nature. So when we face the challenges, we need to see clearly. We need to approach life with a heart and mind of non-clinging. And when we do this, this is right action. We see the truth of things. We see the conditions that lead to difficulty. We can change them. Sometimes we can change them. Sometimes we can't. So right action is the action of the heart and mind of non-clinging. The action that isn't bound to comparison, isn't caught in time, isn't caught up with expectations and a desire of how my life should be, what it should look like, how it ought to be, how it isn't. Well seen. And yes, I so appreciate your intention to look and see and bring the wisdom of that experience to the rest of your life. that spirit of inquiry is beautiful. And if you continue to do that, your life will open up in an extraordinary way. Thank you. Yes, anybody? Okay. We have time for a couple of probably, so you first and you second.
So I have a question about the Dharma.
Yes.
And I also think about it a lot generally, not only here. You're talking a lot about the I that clinging and the self.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very confused when you speak about it like that. I find myself meditating or walking and thinking, so thinking to myself, so if these thoughts are not mine, so what are they? This body, these feelings, this pain. I kind of, okay, so this is a certain machine that produces thoughts or emotions, but I feel like I am something. I came here to learn. I came to develop myself. So if I not, I get confused.
Yes, I understand the question. So, in a conventional sense, of course, there's you there, me here. That's conventional reality. We understand it. So, I can say, I sit here, you sit there. We all know what we mean. So, as you walk around, there is the sense of the separateness of the body, the I, the me, who feels and thinks, talks, is silent, and so on. When I'm talking about the I that rests and lands on the world of thought or the world of feeling, it's problematic when the I is strong and clings somewhere. So when in your experience is the I rather strong? Sense of you, rather strong.
I think that's mainly about my body, everything that connected to my body, like I feel everything very intense.
Okay, can you give me an example?
Like each time I think I mean
anything that's related to your body where you have very a very strong sense of I. This body is mine.
I think that it's all the time, but for example, I have problems with my lower back. So when it hurts, sometimes I just can't think of anything else, just the pain. I can just see the pain, I can't think of anything, I can't. So it just this.
Okay. So when there's pain in the back, the eye lands on I and the body, and this body is mine. Pain is a particularly difficult area of living, because the pain itself is actually rather different from our interpretation of it. So let's explore a little bit. When you have pain in the back, what does it feel like?
Each day it's different. It's not the same thing.
So today?
Today, for example, it began in the shoulder blade, and then went down, and then up again, and then like a knife into the shoulder blade. And
welcome to retreat. Yeah, so intense sensations in the back that were shifting and changing. Different every day. Okay, so sometimes the view is, this is my body and I always have pain. Yet when we look, there's times of where the pain is absent. Was there a time today where you didn't feel the sensations of pain?
Yes. Right now, for example.
Okay, so right now, the unpleasant sensations that we label pain are absent. When they're present, and the pain is shifting and changing, what do you notice about it?
I notice that it's affecting me, the way I feel, the way I think.
So what's the thought that you add on to the sensation in the back?
Sometimes I tell to myself, be patient, it will pass, think like that.
Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes you say, be patient, I know that pain is impermanent. It will pass.
And sometimes I can't, so like after maybe 20 minutes that I suffer, so I will change position or something.
Yes. And this is a wise relationship to pain. So very mindfully, if we've tried to work with the pain, to change position. No problem. You can do that. Then what happens to the pain?
It's just there. Sometimes it's better, sometimes not.
Okay, so pain comes and goes. What does that tell you about the nature of reality?
That everything is changing.
Ah, yes.
All the time. But yes. But what I'm trying to understand is what stays. Because if everything is changing, so what?
Oh, it's a very good question. This is a very deep question. What stays? Okay. Have you discovered anything or any sense of that which doesn't change?
It's a hard question because
I know.
I'm thinking about it all the time and
good for you.
And I try to understand if I know myself, you know, because it feels to me that I'm changing all the time and I try to think about things I said or thought. I don't know, a week ago, and I wonder if it's me or is it someone, and I feel confused.
Okay.
I don't know. I think I feel myself, I feel that there is something that connects me to the person that I was yesterday.
this is the thought of the I that's caught in the continuity of time. So in the conventional sense, we say, I was born, I was a child, I grew up, became a teenager, an adult. This is the conventional view of I. When we start to look more deeply and really inquire into what's the truth of this, we start to see that yes, there's that conventional sense of us, no problem, but there's also something else that's occurring that we overlay upon the reality of life. We construct the self, the one who is in pain, the one who can't bear the pain and wants it to go away, and so on. What is it, or is there anything, that's unchanging? It was your question.
So you're asking me?
I am. I always do that. Haven't you noticed that?
But I wanted an answer.
This is inquiry. It's not question and answer.
It's inquiry, no.
Yeah. And you're doing well. You're doing well. And I love the fact that you contemplate and reflect and look back at the past and see if there's something you can understand about it. That's wonderful use of thought. Okay, go on.
So do I
think, is there anything that's unchanging?
I don't have a good answer. The feeling is that yes, there is, but I don't have a name. I don't have a name to give it. I don't.
So there's a sense of that which doesn't change. But you don't know what that is. Okay. When is the sense of I rather weak or barely there? So we started off talking about when the sense of I was strong. I want to know now, when is this sense of self, of me, of you, very light?
I felt it in last 2 days when you did the metta session before. So
beautiful.
Both of them, at the end I fell asleep. But before that, I think I felt like there wasn't a sense of self.
Beautiful. Okay. So when you were doing the metta, the practice of selfless love, how would you describe what occurred?
We were asked to let go, not to struggle, I think. That was and I was just let go.
So you let go into what?
It's an experience that I feel that there's nowhere words to describe. It's just an experience.
Yeah, yeah. We try with you. Okay? So you let go into that which is difficult to describe. Beautiful. What was the feeling of the experience?
It felt like I'm not myself. Like,
yes. It felt like I'm not myself, and what are you? In that experience.
Just an experience, just.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. You are the nameless experience. What else could you provide?
Peace.
So letting go into peace. Right in that experience, is there a sense of any end to the peace?
No.
So could you say you have a sense of what? The unending or the limitless?
I think I would describe it in the middle between the conscious and the unconscious, maybe. Like, I felt I'm not totally conscious of what's happening. I feel certain feelings, but I'm not,
yeah. I don't know. That's yes, you're not the ordinary caught up self. There was a release into peace. And it's a peace that doesn't have an edge or an end. Agreed? Yes? Okay, stay with me. So this piece is what then? Reflecting now. Is it everywhere?
What do you mean?
So the piece, you let go into peace. And it was a beautiful experience, where the ordinary sense of self was very light, or even not there. Did the experience, the peace itself, was it here? Was it everywhere? Say no more. I'm curious.
It wasn't like in space.
Yeah?
I feel it's not there somewhere.
It's okay. Yes. So it's nameless and it's placeless.
Yeah,
and it's not somewhere. I would call this the limitless, and it's direct experience of the limitless nature. So when we're not somewhere, touching that beautiful experience of peace that is hard to label, when self is very fine and present at all. When we experience that, is there any problem?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Does that peace include you?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I'm not thinking about me.
No, I know. Exactly. We need not to think about me to know peace. When we're self-centered, we usually don't know much peace. When we look through the self-centered view, we usually look with a mind of clinging, the great cause of suffering. When the sense of me subsides and there's a release into peace, we get a glimpse or a taste of the nameless and the placeless. And it's the nameless and the placeless that includes you. Did it include everybody in the room?
Thanks,
yeah. that a limitless peace includes you and all of us. It's something to reflect on, something to explore, something to see and know. Until the sense of I is no longer a problem.
So to stop thinking about this question.
Not think about, but reflect upon. Because sometimes when we think about something, we have the view that if we think about it enough, we'll sort it out. Usually then our thinking is circular. So not so much think about it, but be with it, see into it, inquire, explore, investigate. This is the Dharma point. See for yourself, understand for yourself the truth of things, discover for yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we act in a way that's no longer bound to the past, we approach life with a heart and mind that's unified, a heart and mind of non-clinging. And then action rather easily is an action that's in accordance with truth. When the mind goes to the future, field of time, with its expectations, with its views, with its opinions, with its judgments, we're bound to be disappointed because today's experience or tomorrow's experience won't be like yesterday's, if yesterday's was brilliant and wonderful. So we need to find a way of just being with life, with attention, with a heart and mind of non-clinging. And then even if something is not as we wish, we find a way to respond in the moment with freedom. This is right action. Clear seeing. And it comes with attention. It comes with mindfulness. And it's an expression of the heart and mind that doesn't cling or hold to anything. Sometimes in this life we have the precious experience of touching the nameless. Touching that which is not of space. Timeless, placeless, nameless. Or we might call it peace. And when we really touch that, we'll see that it has no end. It's limitless. And that limitless nature includes us, even with our imperfections, with all of our idiosyncrasies, with our habits, with the things we do. And then we really see that we're not separate from peace. We're not separate from the reality of life. This is the Dharma teaching. Thank you each of you for listening, and thank you very much for the two who inquired today. Thank you also for the translation.